Here we go. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to help with this ministry, please send your tithes, your offerings, your gifts to Pastor John, Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania. That's C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. We trust that Almighty God will richly bless you. Praise the Lord. Last week, yours truly forgot to turn the microphone on right away. A couple of minutes in, I said, wait a minute, there's nothing on there. And so we had no recording, and that was sad. But we made up for it. God did anyway. So, much of the civilized world today is celebrating what's called St. Patrick's Day. Actually, many have already celebrated yesterday and they're sleeping off the embalming fluid. But, you know, St. Patrick's Day was not always a day of gluttonous drinking. It was a day that was a celebration of the memory of a man who selflessly served Christ, just as Christ himself had served the Father. It was a celebration of this man, because when the man died, now we didn't celebrate births. Historically, births were never celebrated. It was always the death of people who were memorable. And so it was a celebration of his life at the time that he died. And that date was marked for all time since then. Anyway, we know that Almighty God sent his Messiah, the one that we call Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua. He sent him here to be the propitiation for our sins. And he said to go into all the world. He said to take that message into all the world and share it with other people. And this guy that's remembered on what's called St. Patrick's Day, he did exactly that. He went to Ireland and he served there for a very long time. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, not St. Patrick or so-called St. Patrick. But it's not for ours only, but for the whole world, the Scripture tells us. And you know, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, he was the absolute example of selflessness. And that is a narrow way indeed. And in fact, he said it was a narrow way. He said the gate was narrow. He said it was obscured. It was hard for people to find it. But that fellow, St. Patrick, that fellow that's called Patrick, also called St. Patrick, that wasn't his name. And we'll get to that. But he was a selfless soul who served Almighty God in Ireland, bringing people out of the darkness of Celtic paganism and into the light of Christ. And in this message, I want to show you three plain truths. You know, this man, he served there in Ireland, and it was a battle. It was a battle. He was arrested multiple times. And in this message, we're going to see that we can always trust that God is with us. It's interesting to me that so many today were saying, God's strength, God's power, God's with me. We know that He's with us. God can use anyone in His battle, regardless of our age. You know, there was a time here when somebody said, God doesn't use children. And I said, well, I don't know, He used me. I knew that He used me. He called me. Well, God doesn't call children, this woman said. She was just staunchly opposed to God using children. And then I started to look in the Scriptures and say, well, let's see, David was a child. You know, I went on and on and on, went through the list of different people that God had used as children. And when I first put these notes together about 10 years ago, I was looking at that. God used young people, like Joseph, for example. And I thought, you know what? There's a lot of parallels between Joseph and this fella that became known as St. Patrick. And I thought, you know what? This is a way to share the message of how God repeats Himself sometimes. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to also see that we are to be humble in our service to Almighty God. And we'll see, of course, Christ was humble. We'll see that this one that's called St. Patrick was humble in his service. We see that as we go forward in our service, that we too are to be humble. So I want you to open your Bibles to the 37th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. It's on page 58 in the Pew Bible. Genesis chapter 37. And I didn't mark it in mine, so I've got to hunt it a little bit. Sorry about that. Oh, God always helps me, yes. Genesis chapter 37, we'll begin with verse 2. But before we get started, I want us to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word and the truth of it. We thank You, Father, that You have preserved these accounts for our benefit. We ask that You would help us to hide Your Word in our hearts where it protects us from sin. Father, I yield to You today for Your glory, not for my own. Let the people who hear this message, Lord, hear from You and You alone. Let them hear from Your Word. Let them hear the truth, Father, that rings true to all who know You. And Father, I ask that You would give me unction to preach, that You would take a hold of my lips, my tongue, Lord, my mouth, my lungs, Lord, every bit that You use to bring forth the words of this message. Open our ears to hear, Father, and open the eyes of our understanding. We ask that You would guide us, Lord, as we go through the listening to this message, that You would remove all distractions from our thoughts. And instead of hunger pains for food, Lord, we ask that You would give us hunger for Your written Word. We believe, Father. Help us to conquer unbelief. Wherever it resides in us, Lord, we think of the Israelites who wandered in the wilderness because of the sin of unbelief. Help us, Lord, to believe, perhaps unlike ever before, that we would recognize that You call each of us into service for You. Lord God, we ask that You would lead us into loving You and each other. We know that Your Word tells us that it's by our love for one another that others will know that we belong to You. And so, Lord God, we ask that You would continue to build that love amongst us and the family that meets in this building. We ask this all in Christ's name. Let Your Spirit fall upon all who receive this message today, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 2, and we'll read through verse 28. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah as his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Isn't it sometimes how interesting how people will hate you for sharing what God has given you to share? And that's important because as we share the gospel, and sometimes we'll find that people will hate us. It doesn't mean that we're always going to have a good, easy walk, okay? Now, let's get back to the reading. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I'll send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." There's Joseph. He says, "Dad, here I am. You send me. I'll do what you want me to do." And there again is another picture of believers. And God says, "I'm sending you wherever it is." And sometimes it's right in your own corner of the world. You just simply need to say, "I surrender. I give it to you. I will go. Send me. Now, when he said, he said to him, please go and see if it's well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and he went to Shechem. Now, a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are, feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now, when they saw him far off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer's coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. See, they thought they were going to thwart the plans of God. And isn't that just how it is all the time out there in the world? People think they're going to stop God's work from going forward. Doesn't happen, though, does it? No, when it's God's work, it goes forward. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. See, Reuben had already got the idea that he was going to save him. So it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites. Now remember, Ishmael was the first child of Abraham. He was not the child of promise. He was born to the slave girl. And their offspring were called Ishmaelites. They were coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm and myrrh, and on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. Do you see the likeness there to Christ being sold? He was turncoated. And then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. Boy, he was pretty upset because Reuben wanted to take him back to dad. He returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more, and I, where shall I go? And so that is where we'll end our reading, I think. That'll be a good place. Because we could read the whole chapter. In fact, we could read the next couple of chapters and it would all be relevant. We see that we have God's Word, and we ask that He would bless the reading and hearing of His Word today. It's a complex story. It's not one that's real easy to comprehend. Some parts of it are difficult because we're not familiar with the cultures of that time. But we're going to focus on Joseph. He was this man. It started out as a boy, and he was used of God. And we're going to compare him to another man, a man named Mawen Sukkot, or Sukkot. Both worked as shepherds part of their lives. Both were teenagers when they were sold into slavery. God spoke to both of them in dreams. Joseph and Mawen were both arrested and both escaped prison. Both were used by God to influence powerful people. And this drew others into salvation, and both brought a new dawn and a new day to the people that God wanted to reach. Almighty God used both of these men as servants in His battle. And that's the battle that all of us are engaged in, whether we like it, whether we know it or not. He used them, and both received new names in the process. Joseph received the Egyptian name Zaphnath-Paneah, and Mawen Sukkot received the Roman name Patricius. And he became known as Patrick and then St. Patrick after he died. The experts think that Mawen was born in 385 AD, and it wasn't in Ireland, it was in the British Wales, the British Roman the Roman British Isles, and it was Wales. He was Welsh. He wasn't Irish. He died March 17th, 461 AD, and this date's been celebrated in his memory ever since. Early medieval church tradition credits him with being the founder of Christianity in Ireland. He converted the people who formerly practiced this polytheism, a multi-god religion of Celtic paganism. He's called the Apostle of Ireland because of his extensive work in bringing souls to Christ through the Roman church there. Now, let's look briefly at Jacob's son Joseph, okay? We already made some comparisons. He was sold into slavery, yet in the 39th chapter of Genesis, we read that Almighty God was with him. He was with him. He was favored by his master Potiphar. He was given control over everything. And even when he was thrown in jail, he was given control there. He was given a position of leadership in the jail. Scripture tells us Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. That's found in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 6. And Potiphar's wife took an illicit interest in him. She wanted him. Wanted to bed down with him and tried many times. But he resisted. Even as she became more and more obsessed with him, and at one point she grabbed him, physically grabbed him. Lay with me! He broke away, but she kept his coat. He resisted. He ran. But she used that coat to blame him for trying to do something to her that he wouldn't do. She contrived this great lie, and she got him imprisoned. Now, isn't that just how it happens sometimes? God's people are doing God's work, and what happens? Well, think about Joseph, sold into slavery by his own family, and then accused, falsely accused, thrown into prison. But through it all, God was with him. And sometimes when bad things happen to God's people, we need to simply remember sometimes God allows those things for good purposes. Even though we don't understand at the moment, at the time, and there have been situations in my life, folks, I can tell you, when something's going on, I'm saying, God, I know this is going to work out for good, but I can't see how. I can't see it. I don't know how this is going to work out for good. And he says, you don't have to know. Just be faithful. Ooh, then I bow my head. Oh, God, forgive me. That I would even question. You know, because I know if I think back on my life and how He has kept me for His purposes all the way up until now, I can know He'll keep me for as long as He wants me here. And there's nothing that's going to stop that from happening. It doesn't matter who comes after me. It doesn't matter what comes after me. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of my life bring, or yours for that matter. If you're being used by Almighty God, He will take you and continue to use you to His glory no matter what. And you can trust that. There's Joseph. And over in the life of Joseph, we read that the Lord was with him, showed him mercy. How many of us know that the mercy of God endures forever? His Word tells us over and over, I mean repeatedly. You know, when we get the Scripture tells us that the testimony of two or three witnesses bears the truth, okay? Repeatedly we hear God say, His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. How long does His mercy endure? Forever. And sometimes we are the beneficiaries of His mercy. We might step off the path a little to the left, or we might step off the path a little to the right. We may err in things that we say, like I did last week. I said Zacchaeus was the one that Jesus said, you must be born again. It wasn't Zacchaeus, it was Nicodemus. I know that. But sometimes I err. I am human, and I pray for people to say, like Bill, I praise God. Bill said, yeah, Pastor, that wasn't Zacchaeus, that was Nicodemus. I said, praise God, you're right, Bill. I don't know why that came out of my mouth. I pray, God, please take a hold of my mouth. Don't let me do that again this week. But it happens. We err. And God, by His mercy, which endures forever, He straightens us out. His mercy is what guided Mawon. His mercy is what guided Joseph. See, the Lord knew there was going to be a famine, and Joseph, through all of these trials that he went through, was going to be in the position to help feed his family. And this is the dream that he had many years earlier when they were bowing down before him. Maywin, he was used over and over too. But we see Joseph was able to interpret dreams by the power of God within him. And he didn't take that power as if it was his own. He didn't try to take credit for it, and nor should we. I can't take credit for the ability to preach as minimal as I can do that. It's by the grace of God, and I have to say, it is by His grace. You know, I had a man come up to me on Wednesday night. He says, John, he said, there's nobody preaching the Bible hard. He said, well, if you want to hear the Bible preached hard, come on Sunday. Because I'll preach the truth by the ability that God gives me. It's not me. It's only by my yielding to Him. And isn't this what we see in Joseph's life? And it's also what we see in Maywin's life. They yielded to God. And we have to remember that it's God's power. Just like Joseph knew it was God's power of interpretation, and he let everybody know that. It wasn't him. He didn't take the glory for it. And I can't take the glory for the little bit of preaching that I can do. Joseph remained humble. And that is a part of our pilgrimage through the Lenten season. As we look at this season of the church that we call Lent, we are to have humility before Almighty God and other people. The interesting thing is that we can see that God will use whomever He desires. He can use any of us. You know, there are gifts of ministry and there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God can take any of us and He can use us to His glory in the fulfilling of His purpose here on earth, in drawing souls out of darkness into the light, uniting with Him and each other. It's part of our pilgrimage, being humble before God. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And he was in this mess for 13 years. How many of us have had to endure 13 years of trial and tribulation for God before He brought a blessing? Think about that the next time you want something. Now! Okay? Because we get in this, in our society, whenever we want everything now. All we have to do is turn a spigot and put a mug under it. We got water. Sometimes it's not the best tasting water unless you've got a good filter in this area, but it's available. Think about it. We want heat. We turn up the thermostat. The furnace kicks on. And here comes the heat. Instant, right? We want breakfast, we got instant breakfast. We want lunch, come on, everybody knows we can go to the drive-thru anywhere and get lunch instantly. And if it takes more than a minute, buddy, hey, we're almost blowing the horn, right? Come on, step on it, let's go. I got things to do, I got places to be, right? Yeah, and that's our society. But sometimes God makes us wait for the blessing. His mercy endures forever, but it doesn't mean it's instant. And we see that in the life of Joseph. But in time, he was able to provide food for his people as they encountered a drought. Sometimes it takes years for God's work to be accomplished. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. And you look at Christ Himself. God's work was accomplished in Christ in that 33 years of His life. It was His whole life. It was a lifetime. But His work was accomplished through obedience, humility, faithfulness. And these are things that we, as followers of Christ, will show to the world. Obedience to God. Faithfulness to His purpose. And what else? Love. Love for one another and love for the Father. Humility, where we bow ourselves down before God. Now let's look at Maywin again. He's the one we call St. Patrick. And unlike Joseph, he wasn't a friend of God in his youth. In fact, he called himself a pagan. At the age of 16, he was kidnapped by Irish pirates, just about the same age as Joseph, whenever he was put into slavery. Those pirates raided the village that he lived in. You see, the Romans had taken over the area where he lived, where he was raised. And because of some troubles that were going on in the south, they moved all their troops out. Well, now the area was left open. And these marauders would come in and they'd do whatever they wanted. They'd run over the people. Anyway, they took him as a slave and they sold him to a sheep farmer in Ireland. And he worked as a shepherd. And it was there that he was captured by God. Sure, he was captured by these slave traders. But then God got a hold of him. And when God got a hold of him, he never let go. Never. So, at age 22, he escaped to the coast and he made his way back home. He broke free. He spent the next 12 years studying in a monastery, and that's where he dreamed that the voices of the Irish people were calling him to bring them the message of salvation, to convert them to Christ. He sought to become bishop to Ireland. Now, he was working within the Roman Catholic Church structure, and he wanted to be the bishop to Ireland. But because of his age and his lack of education, they held him back. No, we got somebody else for the job. Sorry, you can stay here, though. And he did. And the fellow that was sent there eventually transferred to Scotland, and Patrick was sent. And by this time, he was in his 30s. His mission work in Ireland lasted about 30 years. And during that time, he was successful in winning souls for Christ. He converted the nobles. He converted the leadership. And then by their example, others followed. But this upset the Celtic leaders. And they arrested him several times. But he was able to escape captivity every time. Imagine that. I thought about that. Let's just pause there for a moment, okay? Here's a guy that's being used of God. He gets arrested and he breaks out. He gets arrested again and he breaks out. He gets arrested again, and however many times he got arrested, every time he broke out. Now imagine what the media would do with something like that today. He'd be called anything but a saint. Think about it. And this is the guy we call Saint Patrick. He was a jailbreaker. He broke out. And it was God's will for him to break out. It was God's will for him to continue on the path of bringing salvation to those people who were lost. It was God's will that he would do what it is that God called him to do. And sometimes it's God's will for us to reach people around us. And sometimes those people aren't going to accept us. And sometimes they're going to try to harm us. And sometimes people get arrested. Not necessarily in this country, although there are some people that have gotten arrested in this country for refusing to do certain things because it went against their faith. And that may get worse as time goes on. Sadly, I pray that the church will be prepared for that time if it ever gets here or when it gets here. How many of us would even seek to break out of jail if we were arrested for our faith? I can't say I would. I honestly cannot say I would try to break out of jail if I were arrested for my faith. But Maywin did. Maywin. Saint. You know, we're all called saints by the Scriptures, right? There's no special saints. We're all saints, according to God. But anyway, Maywin traveled through Ireland, laying the groundwork for monasteries and schools, churches. And as I studied on Maywin, I thought, he kind of sounds like Paul. But he's in one land, obviously, in Ireland. And he's going about and he set the groundwork for all of these things to happen. The Lord was with him. He showed him mercy, and he made whatever he did prosper. Do you know that no matter what it looks like, by God's mercy, he will. His word never returns to him void. It does what he purposes it to do. Maywin brought a new dawn to Ireland. He brought a new day to Ireland. He brought new life to Ireland. Folklore relates his deeds of raising the dead and driving the snakes out of Ireland, but these tales are believed to be just symbolic. We don't know because there's not real strong evidence either way, whether he did or he didn't. But we know that he did raise people from spiritual death to life in Christ, and all of us can do that. He did drive the spiritual snakes of evil out of the land, and all of us can do that. He's credited with starting the interest in the clover. Some say he used it as a symbol of the Holy Trinity. Others decry that and say, no, he didn't. He never did that. The three clover leaves are said to represent faith, hope, and love. Remember that the next time you see a field of clover. And if you don't know where there's a field of clover, right over here next to the trestle, we've got a nice field of clover that comes up every year. And you can watch the bees busily collecting that nectar that they turn into honey. Now, that celebration of St. Patrick's Day began as a Roman Catholic religious holiday. Okay? It was first celebrated in this country in 1737 in Boston. The first St. Patrick's Day parade recorded was held in New York City, 1766. It goes back a long way. It's got a lot of tradition here in these United States. And now we have more than 100 U.S. cities that hold St. Patrick's Day parades. In Ireland, it was made a public holiday in 1903. Now, he died in 32 or something? It took 1,500 years before it was made a holiday in Ireland. Not long after that, there was another law that was created that required drinking establishments to be closed in observance of the holiday. Can you imagine that? Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day. We can't get a drink anywhere. Not in this country. Not anywhere in the world. That law was in effect until the 1970s. And nowadays, we find people celebrating St. Patrick's Day with parades and drinking, carousing and drinking, and wearing green and drinking. My wife chose the only green shirt that I have for me to wear today. Maybe this holiday grew in popularity because, as Mike said, it reminds us of the coming of spring. You know, we're nearing the end of winter, and everybody wants to celebrate that. Everybody gets cabin fever. Even when, not in these days, when we're not locked down into our homestead, we get to freely travel. And the snow's not as bad in this area as it has been in the past anyway, where you're blocked in. There are some places in the world where it does get that way. But maybe it's because it's the first green of spring. You know, everybody wants to say it's the first green of spring. I think it's ironic that it began as a memorial of a life of a godly man and turned into such a drunken worldly festival. This is amazing to me how the devil can steal something so good. Let's remember this guy because he brought souls to Christ. He brought souls out of drunkenness into the presence of God. And of course, he was working within the structure of the Roman Catholic Church when he did that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 are clear. They're absolutely clear. Drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. They don't. It's very clear. There's not like, well, some get in and some don't. It says they will not. Absolutely. So we don't want to be drunkards. Now, there's nothing in the Scripture, in fact, a couple of places in the Scripture encourage light drinking. Because it makes your heart merry. You know, and Timothy was told to have a drink or two for his stomach's sake, because it's good for the stomach. Now, some say absolutely no drinking at all in Christianity. You're not supposed to have a drink. And I don't want to argue with anybody. If somebody doesn't want to have a drink, I'm not going to have a drink. But if somebody wants to have a drink or two to lighten their spirit, and have some merriment, I say, Scripture says it's okay. And we can look at that if anybody wants to discuss it. I'm not a drinker. I'll have a drink on occasion, especially if I have supper. I might have a glass of wine or something. I like the taste of a cold beer on a hot day. There's no kidding. I'm not going to kid you there. If I'm working out in the hot sun, something about that just helps. Now, anybody who has sworn off drinking, I am with you 100%. My dad was a heavy drinker, and he quit, and he stayed clean for the rest of his life after he quit. And I praise God for that. John's had 48 years, is it, John? 48 years. Praise God for that. That's right. Amen. Grinning and winning. But you know, when we look at this, we can see also that Jesus warned against being caught unaware. In fact, it's written in Luke chapter 21, "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." He's saying, don't be drunkards. He's not saying, don't have a drink. Okay? And we've got to be careful about that. And when people are celebrating the way that this holiday gets celebrated, we've got to be careful not to get caught up in that kind of revelry. Okay? And I want us to pray that we can see the moral decay of this time to be relieved, and that God would revive His Spirit among the people of this land. I would like to see us as a country get to the place where we say, we don't want to do that. And I'm not saying we should make laws that say it's against it, because the law is not going to stop people from doing it. What I'm saying is that God's people would have His law written on their hearts as He promises under the new covenant, that covenant which was sealed in the blood of Jesus. This is why He came. This is why He suffered. Let's pray for God's new day to dawn. Let's pray for new life, everlasting. Remember, as you give yourself to service of your Creator, that He makes the way clear for you to yield to Him. No matter what the circumstances you might find yourself in, you can trust that Almighty God is with you. And I know many of you have experienced God's presence in a very real and meaningful way. He has made a way out of situations that you had no way of figuring out for yourself. And He did it. And you know He did it. It wasn't you. And you know it. And I know it. I know what He did for me. I know how He brought me out of things. Dangerous things and difficult things. Sometimes God allows unpleasant things to happen to us, though, and we can't forget that. Don't think that every time you call on God that He's going to relieve you of a circumstance that's uncomfortable for you. Sometimes He allows those uncomfortable circumstances to get you right where He wants you to be so that you will serve Him. Joseph and Maywin are examples of long, faithful service. Don't give up. Don't give up. When the going gets tough, get tougher. Stand up. Do what it is that needs to be done. Stand, and then also remember to get on your knees. Get on your face. Bow down in worship to Almighty God and pray to Him to relieve circumstances. Doesn't mean because He might not that you shouldn't pray for it. Remember that the new dawn of Christ brought a new day and a new life for many people. Souls who were both affected by God's presence in their life, and all of those souls were brought into the presence of God by Joseph in that time, Maywin in this time, and could He use you today? I believe He can. I believe He can use each and every one of us to bring even one soul into His kingdom. Let's not forget that. Their service to Almighty God brought salvation to people that no matter what the circumstances were, they brought people to God, even though the circumstances were tough. And their salvation that people received, it can be physical. Like Joseph was able to save people from the drought. And you know their souls were brought nearer to God through that. And Maywin, he brought people to Christ by toughing it out, by doing what needed to be done. We're not excused. Because of our age, God will and He does use anyone, regardless of their age, young people or old people. God will use us. We simply need to let Him. Let Him take over our mouths. You know, I pray very often, God, You tell us in Your Word not to prepare what we're going to say when we're on trial. The Holy Spirit will give us what to speak in that hour. And so I pray, Lord, if He can give us what to speak in that hour, how about whenever we're standing there needing to share Christ with somebody? Will You give us what to speak then? Will You give me what to speak in the pulpit as I'm professing Your Word? Will You take a hold of my mouth and let it speak only Your truth? And I can say, I believe He does. God will use anyone. He can use anyone. He does use anyone, regardless of our age. He wants to use us where He places us. And some people are off running looking at this country or that country. Let's go there and we'll save the poor sinners. You know what? We've got sinners all around us. We've got lost souls all around us, okay? Let's be used of God here. Let's be used of God in our little circle of influence. Let's share the Word with people. Let's gather together for prayer. Let's let God use us. Let's never be puffed with pride. Let's be humble in service to Him. Let's give the glory to Almighty God instead of taking it for ourselves. Hey, I saved 300 souls this year, brother. No, you didn't do anything. God did. And He may have used you. And that's okay. Let's be willing to serve even under adverse circumstances. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember what Jesus said. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't just say live the gospel. He said preach it, proclaim it, speak it. Let's follow the example of Patrick in our lives. Let's remember the words of Jesus that are recorded in John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And another place the Scripture tells us is God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to salvation, that all would come to repentance, that all would turn to Him. That's what the commemoration of Patrick's life is really about. The salvation of souls by the grace of Almighty God. And that's why the one we call Jesus allowed Himself to be arrested. As we go through this Lenten season and we think about that, He allowed Himself to be tried. He allowed Himself to be tortured, mutilated, killed, and buried. But the one thing they couldn't stop was the mercy of God that endures forever. Because by the mercy of God, He raised up from that grave. And when He came out of that grave, there were a lot of startled people, I'll tell you right now. He brought everlasting life. He brought a new day. A new life. And every day that we live can be a celebration of that salvation. And isn't that really what it's all about for us as followers? Isn't that what it's about? Celebrating what He did? That we can share it with the world. Just like Joseph was used of God, so can you be. Just as Maywin was used of God, so can you be. And you can serve Him to His glory all the days of your life. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You used these men and the comparisons between them are so strong, Lord, that we praise You and glorify Your name for that. That we can see, Lord, You can use anybody. You can use each and every one of us. You can take us and use us for Your glory. Help us, Father, to humble ourselves before You. Help us to surrender our lives to You in service to You. That we might be like Joseph or Maywin. That we might be used to Your glory and the salvation of souls. From now until we take our last breath, we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now we'll turn our hymnals to number 394. Rosalie's chosen this hymn, I Surrender All. She did not know what the message was. She had no idea. She just chose this hymn because it's familiar to her. She's been out of practice. And God bless Rosalie. She's going to accompany us on the piano, number 394. And to God be the glory as we sing, I Surrender All, number 394.